Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-host today is Scott Fish. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Last week, we talked about unrestricted free agent running backs, where they could go, the value of the running backs. If you missed that one, we encourage you to go check out the podcast. Let's take a look at the quarterback position, which is as meaty an off-season as I've ever seen in my 25 years of doing this at a professional level.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many quality quarterbacks hit the free agency market at one time.
Jeff Driscoll, Geno Smith, Blake Bortles, Joe Webb.
Ooh. I can't believe Joe Webb's still in the league.
That's crazy.
Man, that guy's earned, he's been in the league now like 10 years.
I'm just going to put that out there. Tom Brady, no Tuesday night football wins. Joe Webb, 1-0.
1-0 in third Tuesday night game.
Yes.
In Philadelphia.
Yes.
I want to start, and we'll go through all the quarterbacks, fantasy. You know, it's all obviously a fantasy perspective here, but we'll talk about the ideal landing places, which quarterbacks are coming up in free agency, where we think they reasonably will go, and what's the forward facing fantasy value for these guys, especially for Dynasty and Empire League owners, because that's a lot of who listen to these offseason podcasts, Dynasty and Empire players that never really turn the brain off with fantasy football. We love you.
Right.
I want to start here. You know, the temptation is to immediately roll into the free agent quarterbacks, you know, like, you know, Brady and Breeze and Rivers and Winston. And we'll talk about those guys. But I thought it after prepping for the show, Scott, I kind of thought it made more sense to talk through the best landing spots first.
Let's do it.
All right. I've got 8 viable landing spot teams for free agent quarterbacks.
Ooh, wow. I have like 13.
Well, right, I'm taking several off the table.
Okay, sure.
So first I'm taking Dallas off the table because Dak's probably going to stay.
Okay.
Tennessee off the table because Tannehill probably stays.
Bengals off the table.
Bengals Burrow off the table for Joe Burrow. Miami's off the table because I earnestly believe they'll address the quarterback position in the draft because why wouldn't they? Yep. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is in his 15th year. There are some teams that could address quarterback, but have immediate help, but maybe can need some help long term. But like Detroit and Pittsburgh, maybe Washington even. But I don't think they're really players in this.
Right.
So let's talk through the least ones I've identified, and maybe I've missed some. I think the best possible fantasy landing spot for a free agent is Tampa Bay.
Yep, that's what I have as number one as well. You got two top five fantasy wide receivers right there. You got
Bruce Arians,
OJ Howard, if he could get out of his own way. Apparently, you got the quarterback whisperer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bruce Arians. Yep.
It's a good spot. So, all right, good. We agree. Tampa Bay is the ideal spot. I think any of the free agent quarterbacks, including, by the way, Jameis Winston, could stay with his team.
Yeah.
Or that's the maximized spot.
If Jameis Winston can be a top five fantasy quarterback throwing 30 interceptions, I have to believe one of these free agents could do just as well.
The number two one in my mind is the Saints because you get Michael Thomas and you get Sean Payton, who he's really good.
Teddy Bridgewater was okay fantasy wise for a couple of those five games. Yeah. Not all
five.
They
didn't ask him to do a lot. He had the one explosive game and not a lot more.
Yeah, I think it was two of the five. He was worth it. but
you know, I wish there was a better second receiver on that team. Mm-hmm. Jared Cook is a viable contributor.
Yeah.
So that counts a little bit.
Alvin Kamara is really their second receiver.
In a lot of ways he is, isn't he? Which leads us, by the way, to the Chargers, where Austin Ekeler, I think, helps whoever lands there. It's my number three landing spot. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got Hunter Henry, Austin Ekeler,
Mike Williams.
Those are tools.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers are right there. You can make a case. I have the Chargers number two.
I think you can make the case the Chargers are number two.
I think you can too.
I think it's better. They have better weapons.
They do have better weapons. Part of it is it's the Sean Payton part of it that I just trust Payton to maximize that position a little bit. Next, and my number four is Carolina as a landing spot for fantasy usage. You know, they're a little off radar, but then I start thinking about the weapons. You get to throw to Christian McCaffrey, best pass catching running back in the league.
Yep.
You get DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel,
yep.
who both got better
They're
last year
good.
And can get
very
better
good.
Again. So yep. even though that offense didn't generate much in the way, you know, as much fantasy, I think, oomph as we'd hope, but look at the quarterbacking they had.
What's his face?
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
The quarterback for the
Kyle
Panthers.
Allen.
Kyle Allen. I kept thinking Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Kyle Allen had, what, 17 fumbles? Something like that.
That's an extraordinary number of fumbles.
Yeah, and it tells you about their draft pick, Will Greer, that he couldn't get on the field.
Because it's a bad sign.
Even in that
situation.
At
the bitter end of the year, they got him on the field a little bit. And I was optimistic about Will Greer, and I'm not calling him. It's not over.
Yeah, but when you can't beat out Daniel Jones with how bad Jones was.
Kyle Allen.
I did it again. Those two are going to be forever linked in my head for some reason.
Number five, I've got New England, and... Man, it gets shaky in here. So New England, you got James White to throw to, Julian Edelman in what might be his last year.
You got Belichick.
You have Belichick. Yeah. You got Sanu and N'Keal Harry. I don't know. Those guys meaningful?
I feel like they're going to address it as well.
Receiver position?
I feel like they're a player in the free agent for receiver position. They draft receivers terribly. So
man, are they bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't. There's not enough talk. Nationally about how bad Belichick is as a GM. And, you know, we know he's the puppet master for every meaningful player personnel decision there. You know, they really have gotten that wrong many times. Okay. Next. And by the way, I mean, just the whole choosing Brady over Jimmy Garoppolo decision is, you know, one that's already being looked at closely and reasonably so.
Okay. Did you say you took the Bears off the list at the beginning?
They're on the list.
I think I would have put them above the Pats.
All right.
Okay.
Well, they're coming up, but I still have Indianapolis ahead of them.
I'd have both of them ahead of the Pats in my head.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. I don't like any of these landing spots at this point. For Indianapolis, you gain the advantage of a terrific offensive line to keep you upright. You have T.Y. Hilton, and then you have nothing else. A little Nyheim Hines.
I think the offensive line is a big factor. I mean, look what Jacoby Brissett did in the beginning of the season. Now imagine a more polished quarterback in that situation.
Right. I've got Chicago next. You get Allen Robinson. You get Anthony Miller. You don't have a very good offensive line. We're not sure about the head coach as an offensive mind. I think there's a lot. To me, there's a lot to worry about in Chicago. Even though I like Robinson. I don't know. There's not much else there to me.
I think Anthony Miller is better than people are.
I agree with that.
Give him credit for. And I think Nagy can rebound. I mean, we're a year removed from him being coach of the year. And he's under that Andy Reid tree. I didn't love last year, obviously, but I think he can rebound a little bit.
Do we both have Jacksonville last?
And Tariq Cohen's basically a slot receiver, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do we have Jacksonville last?
Yeah, I have Jacksonville last.
Yeah. Probably. I have some more teams on here that would be in that same range, but they're probably off the table. So,
your Jaguars have DJ Chark.
Yep.
That's about it. And you get a little Westbrook, a little Conley mixed in. Those are role players.
With the way Chark plays and the way Westbrook plays, you almost need a guy with a really big arm too.
I agree. This is where a guy like Jameis Winston could go to Jacksonville and be much more successful than Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure.
Right? So sometimes trying to match that player, that quarterback's throwing style with the offense that he'd fall into and the players that he would fall into.
Teddy Bridgewater to the Pats then.
Maybe. You know, it's not impossible. The Pats have to do something. They need a Band-Aid.
Yep.
You know, it's not going to be Jason Stitham. Stiffem?
Yep.
How about Stiffem? Let's
you're creating nicknames already.
Tell me. I am. All right. Is there a team you think I missed that's going to be relevant in the free agent market this year at the quarterback position?
Because I think you pulled them off. I mean, you pulled off Washington. You pulled off the Dolphins, etc. So
some people think Las Vegas could be a sneaky spot for somebody, but I don't think so.
I think there were odds for a while on Brady going there.
There is.
Yeah.
I think just out of hype.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They don't need to sell any tickets. Do you think they don't have enough hype in heading to Las Vegas?
You're going to get the home fan Vegas crowd, and you're going to get people who want to go to Vegas for a weekend to watch their football team and go to Vegas
just
for
like
a weekend.
Just like the Las Vegas Knights did, except multiplied by the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's they don't need to make any hype ticket selling decisions. The Raiders do.
Nope.
But it's weird to say the Las Vegas Raiders. First time in the podcast I've ever said it. Mm. The Las Vegas Raiders. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Let's talk about the free agent quarterbacks that we are following most closely, where they could end up when we come back. Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchi and Scott Fish. All right, let's jump back into the free agent pool and let's talk about where we want some of these free agent quarterbacks to go. Scott, I am Paul Charchi and Scott Fish is with me. First, let's just take Dak Prescott and Ryan Tannehill off the board. They're staying with their team, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott the Cowboys are $77 million under the cap. I mean, just worst case scenario, they'll franchise him and figure it out. Ryan Tannehill. Tennessee is $50 million under the cap, and Tannehill's imminently signable.
Love him.
They love it. Yeah. It's a perfect fit. I got to believe it's going to happen.
Yep.
Now, there's a small chance this Prescott thing blows up. If, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about this. These high paid quarterbacks rarely translate to Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins. It strangles your team in a lot of ways to have to pay that quarterback. Yep. And Dak Prescott's probably going to be the highest paid quarterback.
Yep.
So if not Patrick Mahomes, if he gets his deal first. Yeah. But you know, if Prescott gets his deal first, he'll be the highest paid quarterback until Mahomes gets his figured out. So, I mean, there's a chance the Cowboys just say, you know what? We're not going to invest $140 million into the position. We're going to find other ways. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Prescott. I think he stays.
Okay.
I'm with you.
All right. So let's go on to the meaningful quarterbacks for fantasy in particular. Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, do you think he's even still fantasy relevant? And points per game last year, he was the 16th highest scoring fantasy quarterback. Do you believe Tom Brady is still a relevant fantasy quarterback? Let's start there.
Super flex leagues, of course. I mean, he's back end. He's going to be a QB2 for you, but he's probably not. I don't know that he's edging into that top 12 unless I honestly, weirdly, even though we mentioned the Bucs were the best fit for a quarterback, I think he's a better fit with the Chargers and Keenan Allen's underneath work.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Henry's down the seam work in the middle. Austin Eckler out of the backfield for like a James White action. I think the Chargers are a better spot for Brady, and I could see him cracking that top 12 maybe in that scenario, but there's a lot of young up-and-comers that I don't know that Brady's got any more top 12 years in him.
I think you really hit it on the head. When you think about Tampa, at least the way that Arians has run that offense, it's Evans and Godwin streaking downfield, and you know, Brady's arm isn't a disaster, but you know, the arm strength just isn't what it used to be. And I don't think he is a great fit there.
Nope.
So I agree. Chargers might be the more productive spot.
He might be fine for the Saints too. Just with Michael Thomas and his tenured downfield and Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I think Chargers are the best fit for him.
And you know, Drew Brees wasn't slinging lasers downfield last year either. And he was fantasy relevant. And we'll talk about Drew Brees in just a minute. So I think we agree. You know, Brady probably not a top. He's the biggest name.
Yeah.
He's Tom Brady.
And he might bring a culture that helps win games. So, I mean, but that doesn't help us in fantasy as much.
No, not really.
Mm-mm.
Jameis Winston won games. The Bucs didn't, but Jameis won us games.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's take this opportunity. Let's talk Jameis Winston.
Segue there.
Right? So last, he was the, of the unrestricted free agent quarterbacks, he was the highest scoring of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
In fantasy points per game, other than maybe Dak. No, Dak was fifth and Jameis was sixth. He's the highest scoring guys we think are going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the 30 interceptions. He threw 33 touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, how many games did he open the game with an interception and or maybe two? And you're like, oh, Bucks are dead. No. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes two touchdowns.
It was six or seven, right?
You know?
Six or seven first drive interceptions.
Unbelievable for Winston. I mean, like. Staggering that he kept the job as long
as
he did.
How do you do that for almost half your games?
You're destroying your team's chances to come out hot by throwing those first interceptions. Unreal. And even more impressively, that Jameis didn't just like totally unravel.
Yeah.
He's just unfazed. Just keep heaving deep balls. And
he's the epitome of a gunslinger.
He really is.
His best fit is Tampa Bay.
isn't it?
There's no better fit for him than
There really
Tampa Bay.
Isn't a better fit for him. You talked about how the Chargers have got a lot of underneath guys. Carolina's kind of interesting.
Mike Williams is a great deep guy, but most of their stuff is, underneath.
Carolina's kind of interesting. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel.
Sure.
They could get a little something going downfield. I wouldn't mind him there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he finds his way in Indianapolis, Chicago.
Jameis with that. That's the question. The Bucs line, not good. The Colts line, if he had time, would he still throw the interceptions?
That's a great question. That's a fair question. And is he at this point, is he so used to getting rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds that, what would he do if he had 3.5 seconds in the pocket? What happens? We mentioned earlier, Jacksonville's a sneaky landing spot.
Sure.
For Winston, with the deep ball to Chark, the deep ball to Conley, maybe. That could bring a little bit of fantasy relevance to a team that doesn't usually have much.
And weirdly, an actual running game for Jameis.
Yeah, how about that, too? What if Jameis thrives in that situation? That'd be fun. Winston remains, to me, very fantasy interesting. I like the options for him. My hunch is, you think he stays in Tampa? Tell me what you think.
I think he stays in Tampa. I think it's far less of a certainty than like Tannehill and Prescott, but I think there's a very good chance he stays in Tampa. I mean, it's the devil situation. I can believe Arians might think he can, help fix some of that.
Yeah, and maybe he can. Maybe. We'll find out. I lean yes, but I'm not as strong as you are. It's been a lot of losing under Jameis Winston for that organization. Mm-hmm. And I think they know he's not a Super Bowl quarterback. So do you want to sign a guy that because you know everything about him? His whole career has been spent with the Bucs.
Yeah.
If you know he's not a guy that can lead you to the Super Bowl, are you going to sign him to another 3 or 4 or 5 year deal?
Yeah, that's a fair point. The market could dictate that.
It could. The market for Winston could dictate a 3, 4, 5 year deal that could be pretty expensive. Or do you just say, we're going Teddy Bridgewater for a year while we develop somebody else or whatever, right?
I would be dropping Evans and Godwin way down my rankings if that happened.
Wouldn't that be a disaster for fantasy? But that's a very real possibility.
It is.
Well, let's use that as our transition to Teddy Bridgewater. He was, and let's do all of the Saints quarterbacks. They're all free agents.
Teddy Bridgewater, who chose to stay with the Saints instead of possibly being a starter in Miami last year.
And probably helped himself by going 5-0 as a starter.
Yep.
And showing, was not explosive, I don't believe, but did have that 4-touchdown game that was, I think, people maybe didn't think he had in him because he never did it before.
Right.
Barely had 2 touchdown games before. So Bridgewater is finished 39th in fantasy points per game. So just using those 5 games as a sample, he wasn't even a top 32, wasn't even an NFL starting fantasy quarterback. Do you believe he's fantasy relevant? even in the right spot. I give you the perfect team to fall into. Which is probably the Saints, by the way.
Weirdly, in a perfect spot, he's super flex viable. Otherwise, no. He's the kind of guy you pick up if he's got a good matchup, maybe.
I always call him the ultimate game manager, which just pisses people off in Minnesota because they love their Teddy Bridgewater here.
I saw a Teddy Bridgewater jersey just this weekend.
Yes.
Out shopping.
People still do it. They love their Teddy here. Confusing, I think, a great guy who had a tragic end and, there was some promising moments and, people have just conflated that into this, this mythical,
Teddy
Bridgewater. The comeback that I get on Twitter a lot is stop playing fantasy. He's not an elite fantasy quarterback, but, just look at his wins and look at his winning percentage. And there's a little something to that, but
sure.
This is a fantasy podcast.
He's also had some pretty decent defenses and players around him for wins, both in Minnesota. The defense in Minnesota when he was with it, good. It was
awfully good.
Yeah.
So let's stay with the Saints. Drew Brees is a free agent. He says the only team he's going to play for is the Saints. He'll either play for the Saints or retire.
Yeah.
You know, which I think makes sense. Let's assume he comes back. What's his level of fantasy relevance in your mind? He was eighth in fantasy points per game.
Which is better than I expected to hear you say.
Yeah.
Eight seems
it's
way higher than he was. Especially
than it felt.
The tail end of 2018 paired with last year, just it did not feel that way at all. I think with a lot of these young guys coming up, I think he's fallen out of the top 12 for me. Even though I see that number eight right there, I feel like he's outside of that top 12.
All right. So even returning to the Saints, an offense he knows with Sean Payton, and you know, he's never been probably in his every year that he's ever been with the Saints and Sean Payton, he's probably never been a fantasy quarterback 12 or lower. You think the end is so close for him now, and the skills have diminished, and the arm strength have diminished enough, the fantasy production has diminished enough, explosiveness has diminished enough with Drew Brees that you do not believe he would be a top 12 quarterback.
I do feel that way, but you look at the last four games, he was over 20 fantasy points four games to end the season, including a 40-pointer.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Wasn't in the playoffs. The one playoff loss.
No, not in the regular season, excuse me.
Yep.
But, oof. Yeah, I'm just not buying it. I'd rather have the upside of one of the other guys than him. He's going to be startable in a lot of weeks. He'll be that tail end of 12, I guess.
In redraft, Breeze is going to be that quarterback
nobody is excited
to take. He's going to fall to round 13 because, you know, who wants Drew Brees? He's boring. And then, you know, he'll end up being fine, totally serviceable fantasy quarterback.
Yep.
And we know he's got explosive upside because we've seen it before a billion times in his career, three touchdown games, four touchdown games. Nobody will want him, but he'll still be good. All right,
he's the kind of guy that you don't want to take him, and he's going to outscore like Carson Wentz somehow, who everybody will draft over him.
I want to talk about Taysom Hill because he's fascinating, but we'll take a quick break and then we'll go to Taysom Hill, Philip Rivers, and round out some of our free agent quarterbacks when we come back. Welcome back. We were talking about the Saints quarterbacks. I'm Paul Charchi, and that's Scott Fish. We already talked about Breeze, talked about Bridgewater. Taysom Hill. Now, this is fascinating. Hill is campaigning to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, something I don't think he could have done without Lamar Jackson providing a blueprint to 31 other teams on showing how it could be done.
I'm sorry. Do you have a problem with his 13 career passing attempts? Is that... Is that your sticking point with not believing in him? Or
I didn't say I didn't believe in him, but I think it's a stretch to think that he is going to walk in and be Lamar Jackson. But I think he thinks that's what he can do.
He looked good in that one playoff game.
He was awesome against the Vikings.
Yeah.
Vikings had no answer for him. Let me ask you this. So, you know, we've talked Tampa, we've talked about the landing spots. I don't know how many of them would be willing to switch their offense the way Baltimore did for Lamar Jackson, which is what you have to do if you're going to utilize somebody like Taysom Hill. By the way, 30 years old. Taysom Hill, sneaky old. What do you think about
it'll be 30 in August?
30 in August.
Yep.
What do you think about the fantasy value of Taysom Hill? Even if he lands into an ideal landing spot with one of these teams, you know, maybe it's Chicago. I mean, maybe this is the spot where, you know, Nagy says, all right, you know, we've tried passing with sad Trombonski.
Maybe it's Bill Belichick getting the most out of him.
Maybe it's Belichick.
I'd like him more out of any of those scenarios, but this is the weird thing. If he goes to a place that he's going to get a starting role, he can run the ball.
Taysom Hill can run, baby.
He can run and bowl over people. And we've seen spurts with Josh Allen and guys like that, that, you know, have slightly more inaccurate arms that I'm not saying Hill has hit Josh Allen's cannon, but I'm just saying that rushing value is so big in fantasy.
It is.
If he gets a starting job, he's very viable. I'm not putting him like top 12 because you need to be like a 3,500 plus yard passer in today's NFL to be a really solid fantasy quarterback. But I'm man, his rushing ability makes you really consider it. He's going to be overdrafted if he gets a starting job, though, because people will glam onto that.
You think Taysom Hill will get anointed a starting job? I don't. I think he, at his best case scenario, is he falls somewhere like Washington, where he's allowed to compete against Dwayne Haskins to be the starter.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a viable scenario?
I think he'd either rather stay with the Saints, because Sean Payton has talked him up as a future starter for years and years, or take a starting job contract somewhere.
He doesn't leave to compete.
I don't think he leaves to compete. I think he leaves to start or stays with Sean Payton and wants to start there.
And here's why I think you're right. Breeze has already said this offseason, I think it was Super Bowl week, that he's perfectly fine giving lots and lots of reps. I think he said like 20 reps a game to Taysom Hill. So they may use this season, 2020 season, as a handoff season.
Yeah.
And
also see what they got.
And see what they got in Taysom Hill. Yeah. Right. And then you tell Taysom Hill, listen, we're going to give you more reps. Really? We're going to give you more reps. And let's see what you got, and earn your way to a starter, and we'll pay you as a starter if you do it. And, you know, that might be a scenario for Taysom Hill to stay with the Saints.
Yeah.
I think Teddy Bridgewater's the odd man out with the Saints.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Sean Payton, I just mentioned this, but Sean Payton has said multiple years that he believed in Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. So I think he stares there.
Yeah, I think he probably does too. But I do think there is a scenario where he goes and battles some wobbly incumbent for a preseason job like a Dwayne Haskins.
Sure.
All right. Final guy I want to chat with you about, Philip Rivers. Here's a guy who's been a starter for 14 seasons, been in the league 16 seasons, because he didn't start those first couple of seasons. Do you think he's got some fantasy?
It's Drew Brees, right?
Yeah, I know. Drew Brees. What do you think he's got some fantasy relevancy left in the tank for Philip Rivers?
This is a tail of the tape kind of. You watch him and it seems like he's done. There are a lot of times last year it seemed like he was just done, but he kept throwing. He kept throwing. I think he needs a good situation to get back up there, and I don't think he cracks the top 12 much like Brady. I think Brady has a better chance to crack the top 12 quarterbacks in redraft than Philip Rivers does.
The decision making, the arm didn't look quite right. Hall of Fame career, by the way. I'm not taking anything away from Rivers. Right. It's just, you know, this is a function of age.
Father Time undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated. He gets all of us. The parts with Rivers that would worry me a little bit if he were a starter somewhere is, you know, he's 24th in fantasy points per game with Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry and Austin Eckler. Okay, how do I find him in a better spot?
Right.
The only way that I think that the only material way he gets better is he can get behind a much better offensive line. He was just, the last 4 years, the offensive lines and with the Chargers have been disaster grade injuries over and over again for the Chargers. So, you know, if he could find himself in Indianapolis, where he's got a bunch of time and doesn't have to make, you know, perfect throws under great duress. It doesn't, the mobility, which has never been his long suit anyway, isn't an issue. You know, Indianapolis might be the perfect landing spot for him.
I can see
where there could still be some fantasy value left in Philip Rivers.
I can see that. I still don't think it cracks top 12. I don't think there's a landing spot we've listed that he cracks top 12 quarterbacks anymore. But fantasy relevance, you know, for random start weeks, bye weeks, injuries.
Yeah.
Sure. That's not a bad spot.
I think so, too. I've got Rivers in my longstanding Empire Leagues. In fact, the very first Empire League in the whole world. I've been holding Philip Rivers now for like, you know, 7, 8 years or whatever it's been since we started. And thought about just dropping him outright this offseason, but I kind of want to see where he's going to end up now. But yeah. I think it's a super flex, thank God. So I've got that.
Yeah,
going
you kind of have to in super flex.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I think you hold him in super flex for sure. Okay, two other quarterback names I want to throw out and tell me if you think there's any scenario where they have fantasy relevance. Marcus Mariota.
Yes. Oh, fantasy relevance.
Relevance. That's all our listeners care about.
I think he could be very relevant for a team running Lamar Jackson plays for opponents on the scout team before the game.
Yeah, that'd like, be great.
Practicing to play against the Ravens. Other than that, no. I just don't see
Case Keenum. Now, if you were a Viking.
Yeah, if you were a Viking.
They'd run the parades before the season started.
It's crazy how many Vikings fans don't realize what an anomaly that is to his career and how fluky that season was.
14 wins is all they care about, baby. Minneapolis Miracle.
No fantasy relevance there,
I'm afraid.
No, thanks.
I don't think so. All right, that was an extremely thorough breakdown of the free agents, I think.
Yeah.
And all the landing spots and everything else. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Fantasy Football Weekly. We'll be back. We'll be back next week. We're already dreaming up some of the things we want to talk about. We've got a podcast coming soon. We'll talk about the free agent wide receivers that are going to hit the market. We did running backs last week, quarterbacks this week. I think receivers are coming up soon. Might hit on that. Might hit on some gameplay variations. Scott and I love unique ways to play.
We do.
We're gonna have a lot of fun with that as well. Thanks for making it to the end of the podcast, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.